Welcome to The Growth Factor, a broadcast ministry of St. Mark Baptist Church. Today, as part of our family, you will experience the life-changing and spirit-nurturing Word of God. Please enjoy this time with us, where we're committed to helping you grow in knowledge, grow in faith, and grow in God. St. Mark Baptist Church, you grow here.
Who is listening to my prayers, making sense of God's Trinity? Prayer is an important aspect or an important discipline of the Christian faith. It is an act of communication that brings us closer to God. But who's listening to us when we pray? Who do we address when we pray? Is it God the Father? Is it Jesus the Son? Is it the Spirit of God? In this episode, we will discover who listens to us when we pray and the function of the Trinity, the Godhead, in the prayer of the believer's life. But before we dive into the roles and responsibilities of the Godhead as it relates to our prayer, we first have to understand the Trinity. We, as followers of Jesus Christ, we believe in one God. We are monotheistic. That means that we believe in one God. We are not polytheistic. We don't believe in many gods, and we are not henotheistic. We don't worship the one true God and acknowledge different gods. We are monotheistic. We are monotheism, and that is, we believe in the one true God who created the heavens and the earth. But we see that from a biblical perspective, we see the Trinity on display. So let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 5. We're going to look at the Trinity in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 5. This is known as the Shema. I'll be reading from the Christian Standard Bible, and this is how it reads. Listen, Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. We believe in one God. Come with me to James. James chapter 2, verses 19. This is the Trinity in the New Testament. James continues the theme that was established in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 5. James chapter 2, verses 19. This is how it reads. You believe that God is one. Good. Even the demons believe and they shudder. So we believe that God is one. One God, but they exist in three persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They are co-equal. All three share the same essence, but they have different roles and responsibilities. God the Father is the creator of humanity. Jesus the Son is the redeemer of humanity, and the Holy Spirit is the sanctifier of all believers who believe in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see this Trinitarian language in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19. Come with me to Matthew chapter 28, verses 19. This is the Great Commission. This is the Great Commission. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19. This is how it reads. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name, singular, of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. We also see this Trinitarian language in Genesis chapter 1 when God said, let us make man in our image. We also see it in Isaiah 6 when God said, who shall go for us? And Isaiah responded, here I am, Lord, send me. Humans reflect God's Trinity. The character and characteristics of the Trinity are displayed in the creation of humanity. We are one creation or one race, but we are distinct in race and ethnicity. There is black, there is white, there is brown and yellow people. This is why it is an offense to God to say you don't see color. To say that you don't see color is to disrespect the creativity and diversity of the Trinity. And for those who say they don't see color are those who don't want to acknowledge and be held accountable and responsible for their mistreatment and abuse of people of color. So to say that you don't see color is outright disrespecting the creativity and diversity of the Trinity. Because there's diversity or there's divinity in diversity that reflects the Trinity. I want to say that again. There's divinity in diversity that reflects the Trinity. We are also created in His image for community, so we don't lose who we are. Just because we are all followers of Jesus Christ doesn't mean that we deny who we are. We don't deny that we are black or white or brown or yellow. We also see this in marriage. Marriage that consists of one man and one woman or two individuals becoming one. However, both individuals still have their identity. They still have their social security number. Both parties, both man and woman, have different roles and responsibilities in the marriage that then allows them to be one in unity and be unison. Humanity created in the image of God, marriage, which represents God, are agents or entities that reflect who God is, that reflect who the Trinity is. God is the Father, God is the Son, and God is the Spirit. And they are all operating on one accord to redeem humanity so that one day, through the work of the Spirit of God, God the Father will see His Son in His bride, the church. So I say all of that to say that no matter which name you call, whether it be God, the Father, or Jesus, the Son, or the Holy Spirit, you are talking to God because God is one. We are a monotheistic religion. Now, we do see throughout human history that the Trinity has different roles and responsibilities as it relates to prayer. So let's look at the role of God, the Father. Come with me to Exodus chapter 2. I'm going to look at verses 24 and 25. Exodus chapter 2, verses 24 through 25. This is how it reads. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered His covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God saw the Israelites, and God knew. The people of God are under Egyptian slavery. They are being oppressed to do difficult labor, and they cry out to God because of their oppression and their difficult labor. They had a heavy hand on them from Pharaoh, but when they cried out to God in prayer, it resulted in a heavenly help from God. Just to give you a spoiler alert, God raises up a stuttering prophet by the name of Moses to deliver his people from Egyptian slavery. But how does God demonstrate his heavenly help? He hears, he remembers, he sees, he knows. He hears their cries. He remembers his promises to their forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He sees them in the midst of their slavery, and he takes notice of what they are going through. This is the type of God we pray to when we cry out to God in our pain and distress. When we cry out to God, we cry out to a Savior who is fully aware and who is ready to respond to help us. And isn't that good news? That you and I serve a God who sits high, but who is willing to come low and help us and deliver us from the situations that seem to oppress us. And I want to make this an interactive study. If you are in a difficult season, I want you to type in the chat, "I'm in a difficult season." Church family, while people are typing in they are in a difficult season, can you be a virtual encourager and let them know that God hears, God remembers his promises to you, God sees what you're going through, and God is taking notice of what you're going through. And I want to talk to you. If you are in a difficult season, I want you to know, I want to remind you, and I want to continue to say, because I want to put this into your spirit, and that is, God sees, he hears, he remembers, and he knows. And I want to talk to that single parent who has the difficult responsibility or labor of having to raise their family on their own. I want to talk to that business owner who has more roles and responsibilities than they do resources. I want to talk to that employee who is overworked but underpaid. I want to talk to that individual who's in a season of financial difficulty or financial instability, and you have more months than you have money. I want you to know that God hears your pain. God remembers his promises to you. He sees what you're going through, and he is taking notice of what you're dealing with. And I want you to know that God is not just taking notice of what you're going through just to take notice of it. He's taking notice of it with the intent of responding and delivering you from whatever situation or from whatever difficult season that you're going through. And in the words of our foreparents, I promise you that your troubles won't last always. Not only does God hears and remembers and sees and knows when we are in difficult seasons or seasons where we are being oppressed by sin or our sufferings, he also guards. Come with us to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4, verse 7. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I don't have time to work on this word guard, but this word guard in the Greek is a military term. So when you give your anxiety, your worries, and your concerns to God, you and I are giving to the God who is the military Messiah, who marches in front of the doorways of our hearts and minds and guards our hearts and minds from the anxiety that tries to kill our faith in Him and our peace in Him. So we see the role of God the Father. Now let's move on to the role of Jesus the Son. This is the role and responsibility of Jesus the Son. Jesus gives us authority to pray in His name. Come with me to John 14, 14, the Gospel of John. John 14, 14. Jesus gives us authority to pray in His name. Let me say that you can't pray to God in any name. You must use Jesus' name, because God only responds to Jesus' name, because no other name has authority like the name of Jesus. John 14, 14. I want to start at verse 12 and then we'll go through 14. John chapter 14, starting at verse 12. Truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do. And he will do even greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Verse 14. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. God only responds to God's will, not your wishes. And I want to talk to some of you all, because some of you all tend to do this from time to time. Just because you say in Jesus' name, amen, doesn't mean that God will honor your prayer. Just because you try to cover up Jesus' name, or you try to cover up your wishes with Jesus' name, doesn't mean God is going to move. God only responds to what He has predetermined before the foundations of the world, not to your preferences or your desires. And I want to also help some of you all out, because I see what you all post on Facebook and social media, and I see the retweets. And stop taking Psalm 37 verse 4 out of context. Yeah, God may give you the desires of your heart, but God does not want to give you the desires of your heart, because your desires lead you away from God when God wants you to stay close to Him. And how many of us can testify that we have allowed our desires to cause us to stray away from God? How many blessings that God has given you that has paid your trip away from Him? And we see this in the life of Israel. They desire to be like the nations around them. They had just been delivered from Egyptian slavery, and they wanted a king for themselves, just like everyone else had a king. They wanted a king, lowercase k, rather than being content with the King of Kings. So God told Samuel to give them a king and told them what this king would do. He would oppress them. He would misuse them. He would overwork them. So the people of God had to experience unnecessary pain and suffering because of their desires, not God's. And many of us can testify that we have experienced unnecessary pain and misery because we wanted God to give us what we desired rather than seeking what God desires for us. Many of us have dealt with unnecessary relationships, booze and babes, because we wanted what we desire rather than wanting what God desired for us. We have dealt with unnecessary pain and struggle on jobs because we wanted more money rather than seeking peace. The peace that God wants us to have and the joy that God wants us to have. And my brothers and sisters, our prayer every day to God ought to be, God, give me what you desire for me. Because what we desire may satisfy our itch, but it won't satisfy our soul. It may give us temporary satisfaction, but it won't satisfy the soul that can only be satisfied by God and God alone. It is when you and I delight in the things of God that develops God's desires within us, so that when we do pray to God, we are praying according to his desires for us, not ours. That's why Psalm 37:4 says that you should delight in God, and then he will give you the desires of your heart. It is when you delight in him that gives you his desires for you. We also see that Jesus intercedes. Come with me to Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. Romans chapter 8, verses 26 through 27. In the same way, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness, but we do not know what to pray for as we should. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with unspoken groanings. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Come with me to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Hebrews 7, chapter 25. Therefore, he, being Jesus, is able to save completely those who come to God through him, since he always lives to intercede for them. When you and I pray to Jesus Christ, who sits at the right hand of the Father, when we don't know what to pray, or when we pray imperfect prayers, we serve a Jesus who knows how to perfect our imperfect prayers. And when all we have are groans and grunts, we serve a Jesus who knows how to put words to our groans and grunts. I want to encourage somebody who may not know what to pray or know how to pray. That's fine. You and I don't need to be an English major to pray. We don't have to make subject and verbs agree. It's not about the nicety. We don't have to put punctuations in its right spots, because you and I serve a God who is better than Grammarly.com. Now let's look at the role of the Holy Spirit as it relates to our prayers. He also intercedes for us. Come back with me to Romans 8, 26 and 27. I want to read that scripture again because it's a beautiful passage for us who don't know what to pray when we ought to pray, or don't know what to say when we come to God in prayer. Romans chapter 8. In the same way, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness, because we do not know what to pray for as we should. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with unspoken groanings. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Just like Jesus intercedes for us because he sits at the right hand of the Father, the Holy Spirit in the same way intercedes for us. The Spirit can create words for us when we are wordless. And he also empowers us. Write down Ephesians rather, chapter 6, verses 18. That you and I ought to always be praying in the Spirit. That when you and I don't feel like praying at times, the Holy Spirit empowers us. He energizes us to pray. Whoever you call, whether it be God, the Father, Jesus, the Son, or God, the Holy Spirit, all three in one, respond to your prayers. All three are working in unison to deliver you from whatever situation you are going through. Now, I want to invite you into a connecting conversation with the one you can have a little talk with. You can tell them all about your troubles. He'll hear your faintest cry, and he'll answer by and by. You'll feel a little prayer wheel turning. You know that the fire is burning, because having a little talk with this Jesus makes everything all right.
This has been The Growth Factor, a broadcast ministry of St. Mark Baptist Church. Be sure to follow this podcast on your favorite podcast platform and join our Facebook group, The Growth Factor, for daily motivational content. Let's keep the conversation going. Thank you for listening.